The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
Goldbeard just won the fight. How about this? It gets even worse. Oh, my God. The entire team dyed their gold beards. The whole team. They all have gold beards. That's the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. He's got teammates that did it too. Here, let's all get together. What we're going to do today is we're going to have breakfast. We're all going to go dye our beards gold. Who does that? So anyway, I'm watching this guy Maloney fight, and I'm thinking to myself, he's from Australia. And I'm like, I was on the air the other night, I think. Was it with you, Carver, or was it with Mafia, where the Australian champ, undefeated champ, lost his belt? To this,
it was with me. I'm always on with you the night of these boxing matches. I'm always okay, on so, the night of the fights.
So do you remember the other night I told you that guy Maloney lost his belt? He was the champ, and this guy Flores beat the crap out of him, right?
Yeah.
And he beat him senseless. The guy had blood gushing all over his face. His eyes were both cut up. His eyebrows were both just gushing. So tonight I'm sitting there watching this fight, and I see that the main event is Maloney against Baez, and I'm thinking to myself, I go, man, that guy looks a lot like that guy I watched fight the other night. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, that sure does look like him. And then all of a sudden I see the guy warming up for the fight, and he's hitting the mitts, and the guy holding the mitts is his twin brother, who's the guy that lost the other night. And he's fighting, his twin is fighting tonight, and he's 21-0, and his brother lost his belt the other night, the bantamweight belt. And his face is just covered in stitches. He's got stitches all over his entire face. It's just covered in damage from the beating he took from this guy Flores. Now I'm going to watch his brother. What would be really great is if both of them got their asses beat and sent home. Carver, I was telling in the update, you know, that he thinks this is fantastic. I've accomplished absolutely nothing tonight on the show.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you, because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life. So I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, for on the bench. So I'm right. The Maloney twins. I didn't know he had a twin brother. And I watched this guy Flores the other night take his belt from him and just beat this guy's face into submission. I mean, that guy had gigantic gashes just gushing blood like the Exxon Valdez. They took him out in a stretcher to the hospital. His face. Oh, my God. And then tonight I'm sitting there watching this guy warming up. I'm like, Jesus, that looks a lot like the guy that got his ass beat the other night. I had no clue about some Australian twins. I've never heard of them. And sure enough, here comes the twin brother to fight another guy. Hey, you should ask your brother how that went against Flores. Is Baez from the same neighborhood? Because you're in big trouble. If Baez knows Flores, you're doomed, bro. Then put him in a body bag. Finish him. Anyway, and the kid's warming him up with the mitts, and his face is just covered with double shiners. He looks like he got that punch right to the nose, like where you get your nose broken and you get two black eyes. And then he's got gigantic stitching marks over both of his eyes. Like his whole face was cut open the other night, and he's just covered in stitches and shiners. And he looks so funny because you're looking at the champ, like the champ, right? He's not the champ anymore. And he looks like he got thrown into a wood chipper. I mean, this guy, he's warming up his brother. And I'm like, God, that looks a lot like the guy Carver High and I saw get his ass beat the other night. Meanwhile, it's his twin. Go figure. You learn something new every day. JD is back on the bench in the biggest way possible. Jonathan Davis, our hockey god from the West Coast, Left Side City out in Lipstick City. Of course, he's been on the bench many times to talk hockey with us, and we got him back tonight to see how much trouble we can get into. I think that sounds like a plan. That's what Carver High said. Let's call up JD and see if we can get a little action going. And I'm like, all right, let's do it. So here he is. Hey, Jonathan, how you been, buddy?
Scott, I'm doing great. No, I'm not doing as well as you. You are having loads of fun.
I think
you're cracking yourself up, dude.
Well, I normally pretty much I do that on a regular basis, but I have to say, like, I always, you know, I like hockey fights. So why wouldn't I like watching a fight where I see some guy get his ass beat? He was the champ and they were showing him like the guy was the greatest fighter on earth. And it was just one after the next, just showing how great he is. And then I watch the fight and the guy gets his ass beat. Like I always like that. Hearing about some guy that's just invincible. And then some guy you've never heard of just cuts him to shreds like he had knives in his boxing gloves. The guy was bleeding. Like when I was watching a fight with Carver High the other night, I'm like, God, this guy's just gushing blood. And I, you know, as you know, JD, I like violence. Boom, there you go.
Well, you know, it's always a problem when you lead with your face, isn't it?
I think it is. So tell me, well, so just so people know, so how many different things are you doing now? You're on Sirius XM. I know you're doing stuff on TSN, Sportsnet. I mean, you're everywhere. I can't keep track of it all. You do podcasts. What don't you do, JD?
I don't do Windows. That's about it. I told my wife that is not happening. But everything else is fair game. And, you know, look, we're all trying to find ways to stay busy during these awful times. And so I'm just doing my best to keep busy.
Well, I always love having you on the show. All right, let me ask you this question to start. Yeah. I am very frustrated. I am sick and tired. And I bashed Bettman and Bill Daly, my buddies. I'm friends with both of them, but I'm done with it. Like, I'm just so sick and tired of waiting for this hub city to be announced. It's honestly, it's so embarrassing. Like, what is this? The Willy Wonka golden ticket? I mean, just name the cities already, for Christ's sakes, and let's just get established where everyone's going and where the games are going to be. What is this whole drama? They're playing this out every single day. They eliminate a city, and it becomes like a story. No one in their right mind, JD, gives a rat's ass every day when they drop another city. Minnesota's out of it. Today's city is Vancouver. They're out of it. Like, are you kidding me? Announce it already. What are they doing? I mean, the NHL is embarrassing themselves.
Yeah, I don't know. I kind of take a different approach, to be honest with you. I mean, I think the goalposts keep changing on, you know, where the pandemic is getting worse. And I think in the case of Vancouver, you know, that seemed really legit. I mean, it was my understanding that the NHL was looking into booking hotel rooms last weekend for Vancouver. But when the government decided that in Vancouver that they were not really going to relax their laws to the way that the NHL had hoped, and relaxing their laws meaning that players weren't going to necessarily have to quarantine for 14 days once they arrived in Vancouver. There was going to be different ramifications if, you know, depending upon how many players tested positive. So, you know, I think that they were not, you know, became a bit of a stumbling block with Vancouver and why they were eliminated today. You know, look, I think that, you know, we're still looking at Toronto and Edmonton. And I think that, you know, look, Toronto makes a lot of sense, guys. But the concern is that for anyone who's been to the city, the downtown is so densely populated that it can be tricky. The Maple Leafs and the city revised their bid and have tried to find a way to make it work there. But I think that, you know, we're just kind of waiting to see, you know, where's the safest place to do it. I think, you know, in fairness to Bill Daly and Gary Bettman, they're kind of, they've got some time. There's no urgency to decide a hub city right now. So let's wait it out until, you know, we can get a handle on where, you know, on the pandemic and where the hotspots are at their most critical. And so I have no issue. As you said, it doesn't affect us either way, whether they tell us today or 10 days from now.
Well, they've had, so they know LA, Los Angeles County, Orange County is having a horrible spike. Again, right? It's a problem. Mm-hmm. So, you know, naturally you'd want to have it somewhere. Like, I see the whole point of like Vegas, the West Coast start times, get in more games, this and that. I'd rather have it in LA than Edmonton. Now I've called games in both, and I know,
right,
Edmonton, you know, I've been there and everything else. Let's just face facts. I mean, no one wants to say this, but no one wants to go to Edmonton. Okay. Now these players, if you sent these players to Edmonton, honestly, they're all going to need a shrink. They're going to need a shrink. So they might as well just have it in Toronto and get it over with. Toronto or Chicago, make up your mind, because you can't have it in LA now. LA, there's people dropping like flies.
Well, look, I think the other issue with Los Angeles, Scott, to begin with, and it was one that I brought up with Luke Robitaille when I had him on my show, is that, you know, realistically, from a standpoint of being able to practice, you know, the Kings training facility is two sheets of ice to practice at. Their next best option would be the new facility that the Anaheim Ducks built that opened this past year. That's got four sheets of ice. It's a gorgeous $155 million facility, but you'd have to bus players about 45 minutes to practice. And I just, you know, I think that aspect of it makes it a little tough. It does work from the standpoint of being able to keep guys, you know, self-quarantine, and you've been down to LA Live before, you know, so you know what that setup is like, and that would work. I think the biggest drawback for LA is the practice issue, but Toronto would work really well if they can get around the densely populated downtown. If there's a way to better sequester people, then it works, because you could actually play games at the Air Canada Center, and you could also play games at one of the universities. Has a beautiful, took over the old Maple Leaf Gardens and built a 2,500 seat facility on what was the third floor of Maple Leaf Gardens. And you could actually play games there as well, or you could use that as a practice facility.
I've been in I've been in that Maple Leaf Gardens. That old place is really cool. I've even, you know, heard all those stories about ghosts and everything, a Baldwin, and that the owner used to sit in that little box in the corner, and people would see him in there, and then people said that it was haunted after that. We'll come back with Jonathan Davis and talk about what he anticipates is going to happen once they do start playing hockey again. The Stanley Cup playoffs, that's all that matters to me is the hockey playoffs.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
We're tired of Jonathan Davis on the bench. Did you do that interview with Boudreaux? Was that you doing that?
I did.
How did that go?
Oh man, Bruce is great. I mean, one of my all-time favorite guys to talk to in the league. He just, you know, so candid, just very open and honest. And you know, we had some good stories to talk about. And you know, it amazes. I didn't realize that he's got the third highest winning percentage amongst coaches that have coached at least 500 games in the league, all time. He'll be back on the bench, hopefully, when next season starts. Maybe not as a head coach to start, because, you know, there's just so few jobs, but I'd be shocked if he's not behind the bench.
What was your opinion of because we were talking about the guys getting into the Hall of Fame. I'd like your opinion of Kevin Lowe.
You know, he doesn't obviously dazzle you with his statistics. I mean, he was the shutdown guy during that Oilers Cup run. I mean, he's a part of five Stanley Cups. So, you know, look, there's I guess you have to go back to a guy like Rod Langway, who played for the Washington Capitals, to find a guy that was that defensive defenseman that got in. But you know, so it's hard to qualify. The only thing, Scott, that I don't understand, and it's the same with Doug Wilson. I think Doug Wilson deserves to be in the Hall of Fame as a player, as he got
without a doubt.
But I don't understand why it takes 20 years for this to happen. It's not like he all of a sudden got better, either one of these guys. And so that's the only thing that bothers me. I understand there are years where, you know, you've got like they can only take four players. And so, you know, maybe that, you know, there are times that plays into it, but it shouldn't take 20 years for a guy to get in. It just doesn't make a lot of sense.
I have to say that I thought it was easy. It was simple for me. Like, you don't win six Stanley Cups and go to seven All-Star games. And, you know, people say, oh, well, he played with Gretzky, so, you know, he didn't do anything. Well, that whole team was loaded. Like, the whole team's in the Hall of Fame, and you're going to leave Kevin Lowe out, and then the guy goes to New York, and they win the Stanley Cup, and then everybody gives Messier all the credit. Meanwhile, Lowe did the job for the Rangers just like he did the job on the blue line for the Oilers, and then the guy won the gold medal with the Canadian national team, right? And then he coached him in the Worlds, and then he became an executive in the league, whether you like it or not. I mean, he's been in power in the front office. He was for a long time, and, you know, drafting players left and right. And you cannot be the first player ever drafted by the Edmonton Oilers and then score the first goal in history for the franchise. And then all those years later, after your career is done in both playing and as a professional, as a suit, and have that kind of a career and track record, and basically people can say whatever they want about him. Burke hated him, all the rest. It doesn't matter. If you have that longevity and that kind of career and you have six Stanley Cups and you're not in the Hall of Fame, then why have a Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I mean, and also, Scotty, you know, first power play goal for the Oilers, first fight for the Oilers, and I think the only player in NHL, only defenseman in NHL history to score two shorthanded goals in the Stanley Cup final.
I mean, what more do you need to know? Let me ask you this question. So yeah. Doug Wilson, right? So I know Doug and you know Doug. So Doug, I've had this argument on Coast to Coast and on For All on the Bench. People argue, like in San Jose, they're talking about, listen, if they don't make the playoffs again next year, he's fired. How in God's name can you fire a guy that is literally, I mean, I could be wrong. I think he's like, yep, 300 games over 500. The guy has literally everything that's good that's ever happened to the franchise ever, he's been in office for. He is literally the only reason they've had success ever at any level. Every player they ever got, everyone they ever traded for, everyone they ever drafted is because of Doug Wilson. And the stupid minions want to fire him in San Jose because they had a bad year. I mean, give me a break. You can't fire Doug Wilson in San Jose. How stupid are these people?
Well, look, I think the argument that people would make for firing him is, look, at some point, you know, every run comes to an end. I think it's, what, 18 years as the GM? It's absolutely remarkable, you know, his tenure there. I think, you know, the frustration in San Jose, though, Scott, right now is that when you look at where they're at, and I think if you compare them to the, especially the other California teams, I would rank them third on their prospect pool. I mean, it's not a good thing. And, you know, the Erik Karlsson deal doesn't look really good right now. And what it cost you and your captain, Joe Pavelski, and what it did to that room. And then you just, there's a lot of questions. There's more questions than answers in San Jose. So I think that that's part of the frustration that the fan base has in San Jose right now. They went for it. When they decided to sign Erik Karlsson to that $11 million deal, I mean, if you think about it, their highest paid defenseman is a guy that came from outside the organization. Their second highest paid forward in Evander Kane came from outside the organization. You know, that's something that it's something that players kind of take notice of. You know, you want to kind of build from within and you know, add some parts. But man, when you keep paying the most to guys from outside organizations, I think it does create some issues, and you better be right when you're making these signings.
Do you think that if I'm the owner, mm-hmm, I want to see that guy fire him. What, he's going to fire him, what, a week before or a week after he goes into the Hall of Fame? At what point do you pull the trigger on the guy going into the Hockey Hall of Fame? Here, I'm going to fire this guy because the fans don't like him. I mean,
well,
whatever.
But Scott, the one thing that works in Doug's favor is that what the induction ceremonies is October, November. Season's not likely to start until December. So he definitely has time on his hands. But
Doug Wilson has done,
like, I love Doug Wilson, and he's done a really good job, and he's very tight with ownership.
Until lately, apparently.
Well, but I will say, you know, the other Hall of Fame that he should go into is the Hall of Fame of GM best dressers, because next to Mark Bergevin in Montreal, I don't think anyone dresses better.
Listen,
than Doug Wilson.
The one thing I've learned about hockey, you notice, come on, like, there, it's so cyclical, and there are so many years where you're just not going to have it. I mean, you can, these people that think you just win every single year and go to the Stanley Cup final, I've said this, when the Penguins finished him off, like they should have, that once the Penguins finished him off, the Sharks have never been the same. The Nashville Predators have never been the same. Once you get whacked like that in the finals, see what happens to these teams. I'm telling you, they go through like about a 7-year itch where they don't do anything. Tell me what you think is going to happen. Tell me what you think is going to happen. Let's move on. I don't care about all that. Just tell me who you like in the Stanley Cup playoffs this year, because I only have a few minutes and I really want to get respectfully who you like.
Okay, so I'm still very gung-ho on Vegas and Colorado out west. And, you know, both these teams, like many teams around the league, have benefited from, you know, everyone being healthy. So I do like both those teams you know, Colorado both is just so deep. And in the East, you know, it's hard for me to ever bet against Boston. I'd love to see a war between Boston and Tampa, because the way those two teams played their last two games against each other, I mean, the hatred is brewing quite high. But I think the champion is going to come from the West this year. That's kind of where I'm leaning to.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I thought it'd be Vegas and Tampa. I'm like Carver High, though. I don't trust Tampa ever. I just don't trust them, because something happens to them. It's like a switch goes off and then they fail. I know they've won it before, but last year was so disappointing. But when we went to see them play Vegas and Tampa that night in Vegas, and it was like an 8-5 game or something, it was crazy, yep, that game. And we were there and I was like, these are the two best teams in the NHL that we're looking at right now. Although I'll give you the Boston thing. And I also think that if Tampa fails, you know, you start moving in the Pittsburghs and the Capitals and the Flyers and all these other teams that are going to have a shot at it. I don't disagree with you on Vegas. Colorado, I got to see it to believe it again. I still think the Blues are better than the Avalanche at the end of the day, based on what they were able to pull off last year. Do you respect the Blues anymore?
I do, but I will tell you, Scotty, from people that I've talked to, I'm not sure how many of the St. Louis Blues players really want to come back. And I'm not, you know, I've heard that they are one team where I've heard a lot of grumbling about players not wanting to play for a variety of different reasons. And I hope that, you know, that things change when push comes to shove. But I will say that with Tampa, I really think that there's been a big learning curve from last year to this year, and listening to John Cooper and to some of the players, it was a real learning lesson, and the way they played just before the pause, I think that you're going to see a different type of Tampa team come playoff time that we've seen in years past.
I agree with you. You know, let me tell you why, because I saw that team skate, right? And the way they move at both ends, the way they cycle, the way they pass, the way they fly, everything about that team. When I'm watching them, I'm like, they were losing the game and it didn't even matter to me. Carver High remembers it. I'm like, they're getting their ass beat. They're still dangerous when they have the puck. I'm just like, that's a dangerous hockey team right there. I'm seeing talent right in front of my very eyes that they could beat anyone any night. But the key for me is how big's the chip on the shoulder, because that's what they needed to learn. They got humiliated and they have to come back with a chip and win based on how bad they sucked last year in the playoffs. Jonathan, great stuff as usual on the bench. I always love talking hockey with you. We'll get you on during the Stanley Cup playoffs, brother. Take care of Lipstick City for me. It's great catching up, my man.
All right. Hey, have a great night. Thank you guys so much for having me. Be safe. Be well.
I love that guy. JD, Jonathan Davis. Check him out on Sirius XM, NHL Radio. He's everywhere. His podcast is kick-ass. It's for all on the bench. All right, for all on the bench. So you thought that was interesting about the Blues. I see that Davis thinks that they don't want to play. They don't want to go and do it. I think there are players in the NBA and NHL that is clearly the case, that they don't want any part of it this year. And I got to tell you, I can't argue with that. I don't think, frankly, anyone should be forced to do anything. I don't think that people should be forced to go back to a job in any field. You know, they talk about the world's changing and people are working from home, and you know, there's going to be more and more of that, and people are leaving big cities and they're, you know, doing their jobs from other locations and homes in the middle of nowhere in the country, wherever, out in the suburbs, whatever it is. Fair enough, right? Going back to I have no interest in going back to New York City to do anything. I mean, I just don't trust any of that. I really don't. I mean, like, and I'm not afraid to say it. Like, I have absolutely zero interest in going to that place. And people know who I'm or what I'm talking about. I mean, we have a studio there in the middle of the city. And, you know, what do? 2 hours of a show there and what? Like, I'm going to drive into the city and then what? Do 2 hours of TV and then what? Get COVID and die? For what reason? Like, I don't trust anything at this point. I don't trust New York City. Did you see last weekend they had a live, literally they had a live camera shot on Times Square on Saturday. I don't know what I was watching. I think it was like, I don't know, the golf or something. They were showing it, right? Where was the golf? Where did they play again? It was at
the golf was in South Carolina last week.
South Carolina. But who kept showing the New York City? I was watching something and they kept showing New York City. Was it the golf? Was it something else? I mean, they kept showing New York City and there was absolutely no one there, like in Times Square. There wasn't a soul. There wasn't a car. There wasn't a person. It was live camera in the middle of the Times Square and there was no one there. And you know why no one is getting COVID in New York City these days? Do you know why New York's the safest place in America these days? Do you know why it's actually doing better than anywhere else? It's because no one's there. It's because no one will go there. No one wants anything to do with it. I don't want to be there. Do you want to be there? Carver, I mean, honestly.
Not particularly. I get that it's getting better here. There's a lot more people out, that's for sure. I know that they showed Times Square and it was empty, but there's plenty of places in the New York metropolitan area that are not empty. And I've seen
that right?
With pictures.
Where's that? You mean like on Long Island or?
Yeah. No, there's been Long Island, either five boroughs. It's not just Long Island. There's definitely been some situations, whether you're talking beaches, whether you're talking about bars. There's been some situations where people are out and they don't care. But in a big, you got to remember what also Times Square, Scotty, that's usually for the most part tourist central. Right.
Tourists,
I mean, you're talking a lot, especially on a weekend. You're talking tourist central. Nobody working, not nobody working, but you know, the normal Monday to Friday people aren't working. You don't have the tourists in. That's what you really have eliminated in New York City, is you don't have the tourists in there right now.
Fair enough. But what is there, 9 million people in New York City? So I think it's a mixture of both. I think there's tons of tourists, and I think there's tons of people that actually have jobs and that live in the city in the middle of Manhattan, in the middle of Times Square. I mean, I lived there. I lived at 48th and 8th. I mean, I lived in Hell's Kitchen right on the edge of it. I mean, literally steps from Times Square. I lived in Hell's Kitchen, which is right there. So it is what it is. I'm just saying, like, you know, are you surprised that hockey players and NBA players don't want to go to these hubs and bubbles?
No, I'm not. And you've already seen a couple of reasons why the NBA guys that don't want to go. You look at Trevor Ariza. You know, normally he's off the entire month of July or August, and that's when he has his son, you know, and he doesn't want to give that up. That's the only month or two out of the year that he gets to spend with his son. So he's going to go and do that instead of play NBA. He's made his money in the game. He's got the ability to go and do that. Willie Cauley-Stein is having a kid, right? Wasn't that his thing? He's going to go do that. So once the NHL stuff starts to happen, whenever they finalize these cities, and you heard him say, and other people have said it too, a lot of the players are waiting to find out where they're going to be playing this thing before they start to make those decisions of whether or not they want to go. And I just thought it was interesting that a lot of guys on the Blues and the Predators too.
What's the deal with Panarin? What's that whole thing about escrow? What's he crying about?
I've got to look more into that, but it seems that Panarin is talking more to where the players have done this for the owners for so long, and the owners should be doing something for the players. He actually even brought up, like you were saying, you know, New York City is so empty right now that, you know, it's probably one of the better places where you could go and play the thing there right now, because there's nobody there as opposed to these other cities. Like you said, LA is still on the list. Like, Scotty, how can they go to LA right now? We've been doing stories for the last 2 days, how Anaheim and LA and where in LA County, all these, they're all going through the roof. So how can you go play in L.A.?
I wouldn't go near L.A. Right now for any reason whatsoever. Not in the least do I want anything to do with it. I mean, L.A. and Orange County, those counties are they're just getting hammered right now with it. Florida, like, so I guess I see the bubble thing in Orlando. It's going to be so isolated from the rest of Orlando. Orlando, like, let's just face facts. Orlando, downtown Orlando, where like the Magic play and where the, you know, the city is, it's not where Disney World is. Do you understand? So Disney's its own country. It's like an entire, it's almost like this in the swamps, right? It's like out in the middle of nowhere. They own like the whole world out there. They own millions of acres, and it's an entire world separate from Orlando. It really is. I mean, you go to Orlando, you fly to Orlando Airport. It's like one of the craziest airports in the country. It is an absolute nightmare to go there, because I flew there for my buddy's funeral, right? And when JBI died in whatever it was, January, right after I started the job, my buddy died in a skiing accident. And I went down there for the funeral. And then when I tried to fly out of that airport, oh, my God, I stood in a line. Like, I mean, I thought, you think Disney's bad, standing in line all day for, you know, thousands of dollars? Try standing in line at the Orlando airport and their backward ass, stupid ass security system they have set up in that airport. What a hellhole. I will never go back. There you go. So Orlando, hate me all you want. I'm not going to your stupid ass airport anymore. That was the worst. I stood in line. Yeah, I could have had whatever you call it. I was going to say easy pass. There's no easy pass at the airport. I could have had like the TSA. You could have everything. It doesn't matter. It does a pre-check my ass. What they have there is the worst airport I've ever been in. I thought Newark was bad with their lines, because Newark's lines are 5 miles long. Orlando's lines are literally to California. It's a line. You stand in a line from Orlando, Florida to California to San Diego. That's how long the line is. I didn't think I was going to make my flight. And I got there 3 hours early. I stood in line for 2.5 hours. I was like, what is happening here? And then I'm in this line. As you know, this is long before COVID. Like, that was March. In January, I'm up there, right? So whatever it was, maybe the first week of February, whatever it was. And I'm standing in line and there's people sneezing and coughing. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, cover your mouth, you fat ass. And I want no part, as you know, Carver, I am completely skeeved everywhere we go. I want nothing to do with people. I have no interest in being near anyone ever. Don't touch
me. You don't do well with
me.
Traveling. Traveling, not a fun not part a for you. You do not like to travel. No,
I do not. And so airports suck. And that's all there is to it. So that airport, like, but look, it's a different world where they're going to be in that bubble. It's a different world. So they're going to be out there. And I actually think they're going to be in the best place possible. They're going to be isolated. They're going to be in this bubble. It's all going to be protected. You're not going to be able to get near it. It is just, I think they have it locked down perfectly. I said
they're even hiring all that security for it too, right? Didn't you send me that story tonight for tomorrow? I mean, they're hiring all security to make sure nobody's getting in and out of that thing. It is going to be locked down. They're going to be in a bubble, like you said. Forget the bubble that Disney is. Then they're going to close off what the three hotels they're in that are inside of Disney.
Yeah, so I just watched this fight, and I don't know, like, I missed the end, right? They've stopped the fight. The fight's over. I don't know what's happened here. I can't tell. I think the Maloney guy, he's smiling, so I think he won the fight. The guy, the twins brother, the champ lost on Tuesday, got his ass beat by a guy named Franco. His name was not Flores. I've been calling him Flores all night. Because I don't know who anymore. So now I think this other guy actually won. He did win. I think Maloney won the fight. There he is with his brother and his double shiners. But the kid, the little brother, same age, they're twins. The brother actually has no damage at all to his face. He's going to go home to down under clean and beautiful. He's got a little teeny shiner under his eye. That's it. But his brother's got double black eyes and stitches all over his face. So it looks to me like the brother, the second brother, the one that wins on Thursday, is going to get laid. And the guy that lost his belts, his girlfriend, is probably going to be the one that sleeps with the brother. I'm guessing because she doesn't want to be with a loser, right? I'm gonna go with the winner. He's gonna go home. He's gonna be making a drink in the kitchen. The other one's gonna be passed out with his sore, swollen face. She's gonna be like, what's up, and then she's gonna move in. So he won by TKO, seventh round TKO, your boy Maloney. So they go home one for two. The one brother wins. You know that's got to kill the brother, too. He lost his championship bantamweight belt, and his brother wins against some hack, Baez. So there you go. At least one of them won. Very excited. I don't care about the cops they've hired for the NBA. I do care. You know, Jonathan doesn't. He's like, I have no problem at all with the NHL dragging their feet with the hub cities. Carver Height, I just don't even want to hear that. No offense to Jonathan, because I'm friends with him. I love the guy. And I'm cool with people disagreeing with me all the time. I'm crazy. I know I'm painful. So I know there's people that just don't agree with me on things. And I understand that every day. Like, I get it. You don't agree with me. So what? I don't care. I'm still not changing my opinion of how long it's taken to announce it. Like, what are they waiting for? The second coming of Jesus? I mean, honestly, like, this whole thing of him talking about, like, take your time. Like, take your time. Make a decision and let's go. What is the problem?
No, I understand the whole, you know, they have some time on their hands, and here's the other thing, you know, they're trying to, you know, avoid the hot spots. But here's the problem. You know, you just have to make the decision and you're going to have to live with it, because they could look at the sheet today and go, well, LA's really bad right now, and this one's really bad right now. So you know what? We're going to go with Chicago, and we're going to go with Edmonton or something like that. But for all you know, Scotty, 2 or 3 weeks from now, it could be completely flipped, and they go, oh, wow, LA's a lot better right now. We should have went there. Chicago is starting to spike. You don't know what's going to happen with this thing, so you can't really use the whole we don't know what's going to go on hot spots, because it changes by the week, the hot spots.
Do you think tomorrow, when Mike Leach, Lane Kiffin, and all the coaches in the state of Mississippi go to Jackson to fight for the state dropping the Confederate flag, that it'll work?
It might help, but I don't know if it'll work.
Yeah, they're going to lobby legislation to change the state flag, which is draped in racism. You know, I keep telling you, no one wants to hear me. These people are not giving up that Confederate flag. I mean, you are dealing with some hillbillies. I mean, they will blow your head off. I'm telling you, this stuff means more to them than people. Trust me. They'll kill you dead over it. You think they... I mean, they've had civil wars over this stuff, haven't they? All right, Perel on the Bench. Morenci, Sports Rage is up next on Sports Grid Radio overnights, of course. Bagels and Bad Beats with Wetzel, 5 a.m. Morenci, I need you to tell me about your impressions of like watching Vince Carter his whole career. I asked you today, and we talked about the other thing with Vancouver not getting the NHL thing. So tell me about your thoughts on Carter.
You know, Vince Carter, an electric player that really without the foundation that Vince Carter set, who knows where the Toronto Raptors would be right now. The Raptors came into the NBA at the exact same time as the Vancouver Grizzlies did. The Vancouver Grizzlies took Big Country Bryant Reeves, if you remember.
Yep.
And that didn't work out very well. Raptors, Isaiah Thomas was the general manager. Took Damon Stoudemire, Mighty Mouse, went on to be the Rookie of the Year. Drafted Vince Carter, drafted Tracy McGrady, etc. And so many players, you know, today's players grew up as Raptor fans because of Vince Carter. As far as Vince Carter's place in NBA history, it's amazing if you look at the stats that he put up. But... you know, he's one of the greatest dunkers of all time, Scotty, but he's not one of the best NBA players of all time. Let's not get carried away on the way out. You know that's what's going to happen right now. He's going to get a little bit overhyped. Great player, great dunker. Interesting. We're going to talk about him a lot tonight on the program, because there's a deep history with him and the Raptors.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, he was fun to watch dunk. And T-Mac's a cool dude, too. Like, I know he can be, getting him to do interviews and stuff has never been easy. I got along
T-Mac
really well with the guy.
Pissed everyone off, Scotty. In Toronto, he pissed everybody off at the time because he said, man, I like it here, but every time I turn the TV on, all there's on TV is curling. He wasn't wrong.
Oh, well, I still like this game. All right,
they love curling.
Sports Rage is up next. All right, Morenci, I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast. Good night.